welcome to the Heavy Matters review show of ArcTangent Festival 2023. Oh, what a time we had. I just want to give a couple of shout-outs first before we get started. Sorry, I'm Joey. Venny's here with me as well. A couple of shout-outs. Firstly, to Matt and Haley at Good As Gold Group for sorting us out with press passes for the weekend. Thank you so much. So much appreciated. They give us lots of opportunities like this, and it does not go unnoticed. So thank you very much. Also met some lovely people there. Shout out to Matt Mills, who I met in person. Also to Joe Nunn from Nuclear Blast, who been chatting to back and forward, and it was lovely to meet him face to face. A bloody lovely person. And Emma Chadwick as well from Nuclear Blast. So massive thanks to all those people. Lovely to meet you. And now we get on to ArcTangent itself. Venny, this festival, what is it about this festival?
I don't know, but it is, for me, the festival I look forward to most in the calendar year. I think it is the combination of the bands. There's no doubt it always presents such a stacked lineup of bands. I'm always fretting about clashes that I don't at other festivals. It is the size of it, it's the vibe, and it's the company. I think the particular group of lads who we go with often, you know, they're good guys. We always have a good old laugh. And I think, yeah, despite us coming off the back of Bloodstock, you know, two weekends in a row for old timers like us, that isn't easy. But yeah, we still manage to have a good old time. So yeah, there is something about it. I don't know if you can put your finger on it anymore.
No, I think the vibe is one thing. It's very laid back. Doesn't really feel like a festival. Like, it feels like you can sort of, it sort of almost feels like, oh, you're having that, hanging out with your mates, but oh, there's a band on over there. If you want to go see them, if you want to, no pressure at all. I think that sort of vibe, the size of it is great. And I think as well, like you said, mate, it's the company, isn't it? Like, we see each other every year. We see these boys every year. I certainly see them once a year. So to meet up and just, I mean, shout out to Johnny Hopkins for arranging the best camper van we've had. Just so this was basically a old horse box converted into a sleeping six comfortable, what do they call it, American RV?
RV, a recreational vehicle.
But it was super. What a living quarters we had. We had for breakfast in the mornings, we had avocado with some lovely bread, eggs, bacon. It was delightful.
I mean, attended the most hipster festival in the most hipster way. And yeah, shout out to Johnny for arranging that. The guys who are with Merv, well, we don't want to give away our sources, but
no.
Yeah, I tell you, we better edit that out, actually.
Yeah, we don't want anyone to know. But yeah, brilliant. That was superb. So we flew in separately, but together, met in Bristol Airport. You were delayed. Thanks, EasyJet.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, thanks for fucking nothing. And then we got in a lovely little Uber straight over there, went into the press tent to get our bands, met up with the lads, and then we were pretty much on it straight away. We had an interview first thing, mate, with Pupil Slicer. That is live now. Thank you to Pupil Slicer for sorting that out. Massive thanks. And also, sorry, I forgot to mention as well, Becky from Prosthetic, who arranged that at Will Collins. Had a lovely chat with Becky. Lovely.
And it was really good to catch up with Becky. And, I mean, she in her own right gave one of the most interesting interviews, regrettably for us, off camera. But, she's a fascinating person to speak to. And for others listening, I recommend going back to listen to the podcast that Joey did with her. So it's well worth a listen.
Yeah, she sort of coordinates the bands for Roadburn, and it's a shame we didn't record it. Maybe we'll get her again next time. So we interviewed Pupil Slicer, and then we went in to catch just the opening of the band that no one knows how to pronounce, Widgie Dude.
Apart from Becky.
Apart from Becky, that. Yeah.
Becky does.
Widgie Dude, that. I think it's called. Anyway.
Brigadoot.
Three piece, absolutely monstrous black male. We got in there just, I think, maybe halfway through or towards the end of FN Scar 16, which I think is one of the best.
The track that I love?
That's the opening track of the new album. Possibly the best black metal track ever written.
That riff. I was actually, I had a tear rolling down my cheek as I was walking through the field to get to the tent, missing. I could just hear that really nagging riff. And I just think that is such a track.
Brilliant. And I think the tent was okay. It wasn't packed. I think it was very...
I thought it was pretty packed. I mean, the main stage slot is worth saying.
Main stage,
boys.
Yeah. Not necessarily
but, yeah,
everyone's
I thought it was
cup
quite
of tea.
Packed, but...
Okay, maybe I was stood at a different area than you. But anyway, not everyone's cup of tea. Very much a black metal, straight down the middle band. But still, nonetheless, very enjoyable, mate. Agreed?
Massively agree, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very much out of loop on the bands we saw this... At this point, Benny, I just want to say hats off to you because you did a fair lot of nipping between bands to see the band. I was, hold my hands up, I was very weary from Bloodstock. I was broken from Bloodstock. So the weekend, hats off to you, man. You did do a lot of going in and seeing the bands while I was
roving
trying to
reporter.
Recover. Yeah,
roving
fair play.
Reporting.
And also at this point as well, it was just the two of us there. So try for the two of us to try and see different bands when we also want to see the same band we love was very difficult. So we tried to do as much as we could. So, Benny, who did we see after?
We went to see Svalbard on the second stage, a yokai stage, to, again, a huge crowd. I mean, it's worth saying these tents, if people haven't been to ArcTangent before, unlike an open-air festival like Download of Bloodstock, all of the stages are inside in tents of slightly varying sizes, but the main stage or the arc tent and the yokai, which is second stage, I mean, they are huge tents. I don't know what kind of cap you would say they're at, maybe a few thousand.
Yeah.
It's hard to say with standing, but yeah, they're huge tents. And Svalbard at 3 o'clock on what is the second day? I mean, it's worth saying that we missed the Wednesday. Is worth saying that, and by all accounts, that was, Pupil Slicer played, Conjurer played. It was a cracking lineup on the Wednesday, and as I say, by all accounts, was brilliant. So Svalbard, they were playing a fair few new tracks from their latest album, including few of the new singles. They are going in an interesting direction. They are introducing a few more clean vocals into their tracks. I thought the new tracks sounded interesting. I'm a huge fan of the last two albums. I thought we had the pleasure of speaking to Liam, who's a guitarist and second vocalist from Svalbard. We said this to him, so there's no shame in repeating it here, but I thought he put in a star turn. He combined really savage guitar playing, but I thought his vocals were really on point as well. And that's not to do down Serena, so I thought she also, she's a great front person. But I thought Liam's excellent. And I think they went down very well.
Yeah, Svalbard are a band for me that I can't really get into. Even live, it was okay for me. I just don't know, just felt wanted a bit more. But I can appreciate your side of the coin, mate, where you're coming from. So
yeah,
we'll
look, I'm not raving. I think I'd still need a bit more time with those new tracks, and they are going in a bit of a different direction. So I'm not raving about it, but I thought they were good.
Cool. And then who do we see next? I believe I had a little break at this point, and you might have seen Brutus.
I think we all went to see Cave-In.
Then we saw Cave-In then. Who were bloody brilliant.
They were. It was, I don't know if I, for me, it was just a little bit surreal seeing them that earlier on in the day. And
yes.
You said this in the preview show that the bill billing for them was odd, but it was later pointed out to us by Becky that, to be fair, Nate Newton is pulling a double duty and then was later playing with Converge. So, yeah, to be fair, he did need a bit of recovery time. But, yeah, they were pretty rollicking, weren't they?
Oh, the new songs, New Reality sounded so good. Like literally sounded like track, like it was off the album. It was so good. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Enjoyed every second of it, mate.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't sure how much you would enjoy it. They're probably a bit more of a me band than a you band. Mm. But, I just liked seeing Stephen Brodsky up on stage. And, hearing those tracks from Heavy Pendulum that went down so well last year. That it was just a little bit surreal for me seeing them that early on in the day. But, yeah, they were great.
Nonetheless, still fantastic. And that, again, is the beauty of Arctangent. You know, you've got Vigidude playing on the same stage earlier, and then you've got Cave-In playing, two massive bands in their own rights, and you get to see them the same day. You know, you're paying, what, 30 quid at least each to see those bands on their own shows?
Oh, at least. And basically you're paying just over £30 a day to see countless bands.
Yeah.
It's quite crazy the value you get for Arctangent, I would say, in terms of how stacked that bill is.
Correct. Mate, I'm just going to let you roll on with who you saw.
Yeah, please. I do think you had a little break now. The next band that I saw were Brutus. We also did an interview during this time, hence a little gap in what we saw, which is our excuse. But I think at this point we're interviewing the guys from Svalbard. I went to see Brutus next, and this was one of the bands that I went to see on my own. They were one of the bands I was kind of most looking forward to. I had seen them at Arctangent a few years ago. They've subsequently released at least one, but maybe two albums, and I've got no bones in saying that this was one of my bands of the weekend. I thought they were brilliant. I think they were in the second stage, again, this huge tent, loads of people there. I thought Stephanie has come on leaps and bounds since I've seen her last. It's a super hard gig, being the drummer, lead vocalist, kind of front person to the band. The other two guys are like the bassist and the guitarist. They're quite chilled out. Just they don't have huge stage presence, they're just there. But Stephanie is kind of, she's got a drum kit tilted to the side, so, and the mic is facing the audience, so she's drumming and then singing out. They sounded fantastic. The song sounded just euphoric, sing along. It's just, they're this rollicking hardcore band fronted by someone who sounds like Bjork, and I think now their stage presence persona is living up to their billing, if that makes sense. And I, they gave me goosebumps. They were that good. And
wow.
It honestly says that one of the sets of a very stacked weekend.
Excellent. God, I didn't get to see him. I really liked their last album, actually. I think we reviewed it on the show, if I'm
we
right.
We did.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. So, yeah, but look, that's me showing my age. I need a little sit down and a cup of tea at that point.
Nothing better at a festival, can I just say? Mr. Michael Bobin, Bob's a good friend, had it right early on in our lives when he said, at a festival, all you really need to do is sit down. And there's some definite truth in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who did we see next, or did you see next?
Did you come see Russian Circles?
No.
Or was that just me again? Yeah,
that was just
me. I spent quite a lot of time just on my own this weekend, but I really don't mind that. Russian Circles, they were really loud, really heavy, really good light show. And again, I've seen them before. Arctangent, again, is a really good festival for them in terms of they have that instrumental post-rock thing, but I also think they've got the heaviness, the weightiness to the riffs that that they would pass off at many festivals, including the mainstream ones. But yeah, they were very impressive. Again, I've kept tabs with them in terms of every album, and some of their albums like Memorial, I just absolutely love. I think they played a few more tracks off their latest album and they were a bit less familiar to me, and so they didn't quite chime, especially coming off the emotional high of Brutus. It didn't quite chime as it all felt a bit, can I just say, like a bit cold and clinical. They're really heavy and precise, but coming off the wrought emotion of Brutus, it just hit me as being a bit cold. Not in a terrible way, but yeah, they were good. And I think, judging by the size of the crowd, it's quite cramped in that big tent. Like, they went down well.
Apparently, their light show was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was really kind of stark, a lot black and white, and yeah, it was quite jarring on the
I
senses
can
for our
imagine. I can imagine.
slightly pickled brains. They were quite jarring. They're really loud as well, even with ear defenders in, they're really loud.
Wow. Okay. A lot of people were raving about them that weekend. So, next band, was it Converge?
I think it was Converge at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
I said in our preview show, I'm not a huge Converge fan. I could certainly take or leave it. I mean, for the love of God, they were heavy.
Oh,
Like,
man.
first full day of bands, and you got Converge headlining, and it was just song, 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 song. There was very little chat in between from Jacob Bannon. It was just onto the next track, onto the next track. And I have to admit, towards the end, I was certainly done. And I was quite happy when the last notes rang out to have that bit of peace and quiet. It was intense, mate.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty dyed in the wool metal fans for going on for 30 years, and we've been exposed to most extremity there is. But there is something about that really acerbic nature of that metallic hardcore that is just frighteningly heavy. And I mean, Jacob Banham is a machine, just really horrible, scratchy, acerbic vocal, just relentless. I mean, you couldn't decipher a word of it. And what I loved about the set was the relentlessness of it. It was just punishing. But all of a sudden, out of that hardcore brutality, there'd be these monster riffs that would just flash in the pan like a little bit of sizzling fat, and they would just maybe 3 bars, 4 bars, just these monster hulking kind of Napalm Death-y riffs, and then they'd be gone. And then all of a sudden you'll be back in the maelstrom of that eye of the storm of that really acerbic music. I mean, I followed their album since Jane Doe probably closer than you have, but even to me, a lot of it was indecipherable. I couldn't pick out the tracks. I mean, I did pick out Under Duress, which I think they played quite early on, off the latest album. They played like Axe of Fool and You Fail Me in the middle somewhere, and they ended with Concubine, which is their hit from Jane Doe. So there were a few tracks that I could pick out, but for me, as well as you, and I think our mates and a few other people in that tent, it was quite overwhelming.
They finished with a cover of Wolverine Blues as well by
Oh,
Entombed.
right. Okay.
Yes, which
I
that
think we might
was
have left by then. I think we
did
might have tapped out
we may have. I remember Joe
and
Nunn
pussied
saying to
out.
me he was loving that. But again, this is the beauty of Arctangent. You can have so many different bands playing, then all of a sudden Converge come on and have a tent absolutely jam-packed. So that was Thursday, mate. We went back. We had a nice little pot noodle, I believe, and got refreshed ready for Friday, which I believe, Vinny, our first band was Curse's Metal Hands.
Correct, the Mundo.
Yes. My arguably my favourite opening set of the weekend with the Peep Show. backing track of all the bands they have, and then coming out to that. They've only got one EP, Ben. Am I right in saying
They
that?
have, correct.
Yeah, so they just played that. But I mean, you could see
I
they're
think
all back.
just to jump in, I did think they played a new track because that EP is just four tracks and they are ingrained on, they're etched into my memory. And there are a few tracks that were less familiar to me. So I don't know if they
Okay.
played a new track, but yeah, like when Good Spirits and Things comes in, it's really joyous and uplifting. And I mean, it's still heavy. Don't get me wrong, but it's really major key, and it's a great way to start the day.
It was lovely, and it was busy enough. They've
Yep.
fully loved that band, aren't they? Kirsty's Metal Hands. Then I'm literally I don't know what happened on Friday. I can't remember who we saw. So please enlighten me.
I went, oh no, you were with me actually. We went to see Holy Fawn, who
Oh.
are Massachusetts Dreamcore. And yeah, it really, first time I've seen them again, loved them from the first album and have wanted to see them for a while. I think they didn't come over to the UK for a long time, and the couple of times they have been over so far, I didn't catch them. So I was really interested to see them. It's a bit of a somewhat of a tough vibe to play that shoegazy music. It's not exactly uppers for a festival crowd, but I was really impressed. The front person is slightly diminutive in stature, but his voice, he's got this such incredible voice that to look at,
Gorgeous.
just you wouldn't expect it to come out, and it just belts out. It's almost falsetto in nature, and then he's got a bit of a death growl as well. Yeah, fantastic. And the band were great as well. On drums was,
Lauren from Heineken.
thank you, mate, who I think supported them when they came over the last time. So it's great to see her, and she was on this huge stage and absolutely nailed it. So yeah, I what did you think, mate? Because clearly this is my kind of band and I slightly drag you along to it. So what was your take home, having never really heard them or?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and
Oh,
I think
great.
the crowd. Sorry, I enjoyed it, not really enjoyed it. Like I think if I listened to them on record and then saw them, I'd probably enjoy it more. But no, it was really good. Just happy to be there watching you enjoy yourself, mate.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. And then next up, we were chatting, we were schmoozing a little bit, but we were outside the tent where Ash and Spire were playing on
Oh, yes.
Eclipsa. And I was really interested to see them. I mean, the last album is very, how would you describe it? I mean, it's quite extreme. The
Yeah.
vocals are extremely harrowing. They've got a sax player. The topics are quite bleak that they sing about. They're from Glasgow, so not too far from my neck of the woods. So I was really interested to see them. It actually came across really well, and it was not as impenetrable live as I thought it would
Okay.
be. I thought it might just sound a mess, but it actually set they sounded pretty clear, and I think, for want of a better word, they really got their sound and music and message across really well. And they had live sax. I thought the lead singer was everywhere. I think at one point he like dropped a contact lens in the mosh pit or something like that, which led to it them having to stop for a minute or something. But yeah, I was fearful of what it was going to be like, and slightly sadistically wanted to go and see it. But actually, I thought, do you know, this sounds quite good.
Good, good. The next one, mate.
We caught a bit of the end of Jagger Jaggist, Jazzist, which the boys were loving. Was this, do you remember that kind of instrumental jazzy?
Yes,
Yeah.
I did enjoy that. Quite
It was a
proggy.
nice, yeah, it was quite a nice change of pace, certainly from
Yeah.
Ash and Spire. And yeah, I think that's what's quite good about Art Tangent is you do get these slightly different propositions that
Yeah.
cater to, yeah, just slightly different musical tastes. And yeah, as we didn't catch the whole set, but the boys we were with really gave really positive feedback to that.
Lovely. On to the next one, mate.
Now for something slightly different, the two of us went over to see Liturgy on the second stage. Oh, your face.
Mate.
Tell me.
I think we went back to the van for a minute and
You
also
might have
something
dropped your cam back or something. We were
that
interviewing,
was
you might
it.
drop your
You,
cam back and you
yeah.
got refill and
And I remember you going, Liturgy are playing, do you want to come see it? And I was like, yes, definitely. And because their new album, I can't remember what it's called, 9176, something
the
like
string
that.
of numbers, yep.
Yeah. I've really liked. And I think the tent was okay. I don't remember it being that full. I think we were about halfway down,
We were.
maybe a third down. But I remember them, we might have just caught just after the first song, maybe. We certainly didn't see the start.
We didn't. We were walking there and they were playing the track, I think the opening track of the
Yes,
new album that I
that's right.
absolutely fucking love. And again, a tear was rolling down my other cheek as I was like picking up the pace to try and get there on time.
Hurry, And then I remember just sitting in there or standing there next to you, and we hardly spoke throughout the whole set because we were in this thick tar of jagged riffs. And then I remember this song coming on, which only found out after what it's called. It's called Generation, and I'm going to put it on at the end of this episode for everyone to hear. And I remember it being a musical one, and just this riff, and a cymbal every other beat, and just looking at you and just pulling faces like, what is like, I couldn't move. I was just stuck in this
You were
riff,
paralyzed by
just
the
on this
heaviness and
revolving
relentless. It
riff.
was relentless, wasn't it?
It was,
It was so thick. It was
yeah.
just, you could like taste it. It was so heavy. And you were just like, every minute I'd look across and you would like chuckle because it was so
Yes.
heavy. You just couldn't believe it.
It's called Generation. It's off their album called Aesthetica, which I have just not stopped playing because
Oh, great.
it fucking hell. That song is just unbelievable. And I remember looking over at the bassist, and I think her name's Tia or Tina, something like that. And she was just playing this track. And you could just, it was just like she was like wandering around thinking, I wonder what's on TV tonight. So nonchalant the way she was playing it. But
They
you
are
will.
a funny bunch, do you know? The front person is very compelling, very cutting edge. And like you say, the bassist looks like she could be in the checkout in Tesco's or something
Yeah.
like that. She just like doesn't fit the aesthetic, but also is the most extreme person on the stage.
I
It's
mean,
quite something to behold. But I thought they were really compelling viewing.
one of my bands of the weekend, hands down.
Mate, I'm delighted.
Yeah,
I'm really
hands down.
delighted. So that album, to be honest, I'm not that familiar with their previous work, but this album, the String of Numbers album, has just got me so kind of hooked. You'd chuckle again because I listened to it at bedtime, but I
Yeah.
think it's fantastic.
And mate, I would highly recommend getting onto that Aesthetica album. It
Okay.
is, it has Generation on, but it's a liturgy album, what you think it would be, and it's superb. It is so good. So yeah, really, really
Fantastic.
good time with liturgy.
Great. I think now we again headed back for a little while to get charged up before heading out to the ocean.
Oh my God. Okay, can we just talk quickly before we get into the latter tracks? Talk about the new tracks, Fenny. Opening up with two tracks off the new album. Thoughts?
They were great. I mean, I was really injured. We talked, we reviewed the album, and we weren't sure how this slightly less heavy, Cynthia, is that a word? Cynthia is a person. Cynthia sound would kind of carry off live. It would alienate fans. But look, you're at ArcTangent. These are some of the most open-minded music loving people. They aren't gonna scoff at something like that. And I just, the Ocean, they're a bit of a force of nature. I think they always sound great. They sounded massive, absolutely massive. I think Loic sounded brilliant. I thought his slightly cleaner vocals on those first two tracks. Do you know, I sometimes have had question marks of how that would carry off live, but I thought they were really good.
I do you know what I compare them to is, and you'll probably laugh, but the two new tracks from Senjutsu, which they open with, they're a bit of a slow burner.
That
I
is a
know,
very odd.
it is, but I can just think it now, but that's the only comparison I have at this time. But with them being very slower and taking a bit of time to get into, but when you put it on the Ocean with them and their sound, they sounded great. Like really sort of sucked you in slowly. And then, I mean, the latter part of this, the set list, when they played a majority of Fans of Rogue 2 was just phenomenal. I remember you and I just screaming Wild Forest Fires at the top of our lungs towards the end of that set. And I'll just shout out as well, this one of my favorite moments of the weekend was after the Ocean finished their set, some guy come running towards us, and I was thinking he was a fan of Heavy Matters. He wasn't. He just said, "Guys, I just want to say I loved how much you two enjoyed that show so much." And that is what
Yeah,
ArcTangent's about.
it was a bit of a funny thing to say, but clearly we were having a good time. Vis-a-vis us watching Megadeth at Bloodstock, it might have been a similar kind of,
Exactly what I was thinking, yeah.
I think when the Ocean get it right, they're pretty unbeatable.
Oh.
I don't always think their sets are 100% user friendly, but that the ending to that was just planets
Superb.
collapsing in on themselves. So it was
Yeah.
fantastic.
So good. So good. Then, mate, I think we might have split up at this point, did we?
Yeah, again, I don't know if we at what point we saw the guys, but at this point we had the big clash, one of the
Oh.
big well, the first of two big clashes
Yeah.
came at this point.
Yeah.
So do you want to go first
Okay.
or
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah.
fine. So the big clash, which we talked about in the review show, was Enslaved and Sixth. And Sixth, obviously, we grew up together listening to. They're on the circuit around Bournemouth. But on the other hand, Enslaved, one of my favorite bands of all time, were playing at the same time. So in the thought of music journalism, we divided and conquered at this point.
We did.
We'll say that, but I was just wanting to see Enslaved. So I went and saw Enslaved, who unfortunately didn't get to interview this time because they were running late, but that is fine. They were in the Blixer tent, mate, which
Yes.
is a small tent. Very small. Sorry, it must be the second smallest there. No, third small. No, it's small enough anyway to have a
Yeah.
band, such established band such as Enslaved in. But it was packed for sure. And they were crammed onto the stage, God bless them, but it made no difference to them. They played seven tracks. They started with Issa. They played some new stuff. They played, which at this point, Benny, I just couldn't believe you weren't there with me when they played Homebound, which
Oh, I'm so gutted to miss that. I
is
love
just,
that track so much.
you know, throwing that in mid-set was just glorious.
Yeah.
I think
Do you think they play that all the time now?
I think they do. I think they
no,
do.
No wonder.
Yeah, it's an absolute beauty. I saw them
Yeah.
in Norway last year and they played it. It's just brilliant. And they played Havenless and then finished with the title track from the new album, Heimdall. And the sound was impeccable.
Oh, good.
Brutal was on fine form. They had a great light show as well. And just everyone who was there was having a fantastic time. So I'm really glad I made the decision to go see Enslaved. But put me out of my misery, mate. Talk to me about Sixth.
Well, Sixth was busy. We made an active decision to relive our teenage years by getting right down into the mosh pit. And
nice.
They came on. I thought it sounded really bad to begin with. It sounded, I mean, the problem is Sixth do have quite a complex technical sound. And if it's not on point, then it sounds a bit of a mess, to be brutal about it. And it was just a little bit of an anticlimax because everyone was clearly there, somewhat of a nostalgia trip, but just, you know, pumped to see them. They came on with Scent of the Obscene and it just didn't sound great. Then they had Hold My Finger again. The sound wasn't quite on by that point. They did have their original singer back, who Dustin. He's back now, and apparently, according to Mikey, is saying during the set that he's staying, and they're talking about recording new music. So that is really interesting in terms of development. One maybe downside to that was James Leach wasn't on stage playing bass. I think he is clearly a fundamental part of their sound with his very technical bass and that kind of slap bassy almost sound, and clearly one of the best bass in the business. And they had this kind of piped in backing track almost for the first few tracks, which, you know, was not great. So, yeah, that was a bit of an odd one. And clearly, James Leach was then playing for Devin Townsend the night after and has played with Devin since the kind of Empath era. And so clearly he's in the area. And I don't know if maybe he's under contract or something like that. But, yeah.
Very odd.
It was an odd one. It's an odd one and a bit hard to put your finger on it. You just felt like, well, they're getting the whole band together.
Yeah.
James wasn't there, but Justin was. And anyway, it's a bit odd. But anyway, halfway through the set, again, oddly halfway through and not from the start, Nolly, who is the bassist from Periphery initially and is now like a super producer, I think, came and played with them. So that was interesting.
What was going on there?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And yeah, you just always are tempted to read between the lines. But I'm pleased to report, like, towards the end of the set, especially when Nolly was playing, it all sounded great. They sang or recited, Mikey's recited When Will the Forest Speak? Pussyfoot was in there. Plenty of tracks from Death of the Dead Day, which is my personal favourite album. So yeah, it was great. It was busy. It was definitely busy. And yeah, the mosh pit got a bit busy, especially for Art Tangent. It was I don't know, there's something about Sick that's always a bit bittersweet. I don't know, it's a bit like we talked about before with them, that you have such high hopes and expectations. There's always just something that just gets you. And that's been the story of them since the year dot, basically. But look, we still had a great time.
Lovely. Delighted. So then I believe we met back up and went to saw LLNN.
Death Goes First, mate.
Well, Death Goes First?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so at that point, I was definitely fairly drunk. Apologies to the lads. Yeah, Death Goals were Oh, they were on fire. Harry was just ferocious as a front person. Just did not give two shits, was bouncing around, getting in, stage diving into the crowd.
Got into the crowd.
Oh my God, that new the new songs were incredible. And for the two of them to produce the sound and noise they did was brilliant. I'm so glad they got a good crowd. And we spoke to Harry on Saturday, I
We
think.
spoke to them before. We spoke to them
Sorry,
before their
we did
set.
interview him.
We caught Harry after,
We
but
did a
we
formal
interviewed them. It
interview
was
before.
really, yeah, and so that's available now. But it was really interesting to hear what they were saying. We're getting a few little teasers and what their set was going to be like. They were wondering what kind of the crowd would be like. They're used to it, obviously a bit more hardcore crowd, and Art
Yeah.
Tangent is a bit more of a chin strokery crowd, and so they weren't quite sure. But I think, you know, they absolutely smashed it. So definite kudos to I mean, excuse me, Garden of Dead Flowers. I just love that. I just love every track from that, and I thought the
Yeah.
last two tracks in particular just sounded amazing.
Just, I'm so happy for them to get that crowd for them to show up. Because I think they were I can't remember who was clashing at the same time with them, but they were slightly
It was
worried.
High Lung, wasn't it?
High
Yeah,
Lung, that was it, yeah. But no, good show for them and just two lovely lads as well. So hats off to them, fair play, lads. Well done. And
I'm
then we
hoping
saw.
they're going to get the call up for the Wednesday slot next year for one of the best performances of the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm kind of dream team performance, so I'm
That'd
hoping
be
they get
nice.
that. Yeah.
And then we saw LRNN. And at that
We
point,
did.
I was at my mischievous. I was at the fun stage of the night where this band do things for me. That their last album was one of the heaviest things I've ever heard put on record on Pelagic, no doubt. And we were stood sort of, if I remember, again, Benny, please correct me if I'm wrong, sort of back left. And
Yes.
I think Robin from the Ocean was stood there watching it for a bit. I think you hounded him and buddied him away or made him run
And he
away.
left. He just left
He
after
exited
a
stage
few
fright.
inebriated words from me, and he'd had enough and left.
Then yeah, so he but oh my God, LNN, the new single obviously, which we mentioned on the preview show, and always like, oh, what's the new singer going to be like? But to be fair, when you're playing this sort of music, where no offense, the vocals are very, to get that
They're
vocal
just
style, it's very
another instrument,
straightforward.
aren't they?
Yes,
They're
yeah.
another part of the
You
texture.
don't need that vocal range to go from high to low. It's very much the low end of the spectrum. Couldn't really notice it. And ended with Obsidian, which is one of the heaviest songs. It was just brilliant. And myself and Ollie Hill getting busy in the mosh pit. Phenomenal stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen them now twice at Art Tangent, and do you know, it's always, we talk about this on the show plenty. It's often the first time you see someone or the first album that you get into a band on that that's your kind of go-to memory or that's your reference point. And I think I had that the first time I saw them, that I remember seeing them again at Art Tangent, and again really late at night, and they just had this really white light strobey stage show, and they're just heavy, obviously, as anything like they were this time. And yeah, I didn't get that just nauseating sense of heaviness this time. I actually thought, a bit like Ash and Spire, that I was expecting just to be nauseated from the sheer extremity of it, but I actually found it quite. Maybe it's just because I'm a bit more familiar with them now. I know I've listened to the records, but I found it quite, you know, digestible and quite fun, if for want of
It's
a better word.
because you go to sleep with bands like Liturgy
Maybe.
playing, you just
Maybe.
you're
Maybe.
immune to all this stuff now.
Maybe. But yeah, I enjoyed it. And yeah, we were a little bit tipsy, it's fair to say,
Yeah,
this morning.
yeah. And then we when we should have just been good boys and gone home, we
We
went to
should have just
the
gone to
we
bed.
went to the new metal disco, or sorry, the silent disco to everyone else. And this,
what's your review of the silent disco?
It was disappointing, to be honest. You know, there's three channels, I think, yeah. And we were on red.
I can't believe we're reviewing the silent disco.
Things need to be said. Things need to be said. I remember last year and it just being back to back new metal, like one after another, like classic new metal tracks, or not all new metal, but do you know what I mean? This year was very different. It was the occasional sort of System here, bit of Korn there, but then they started bringing like Linkin Park remixes that went on for like far too long, like very disappointing.
They had a bit more kind of pop punky, more modern stuff, didn't they? That yeah. I think wasn't so much of a hit with the older crowd amongst yeah. us. And on the Red Channel, they had a bit more kind of techno, happy hardcore.
Oh, was it, that was on
dancey,
the Red, sorry.
Upbeat. And then on the Green, the good old Green Channel, they just had the Mars Volta album in its entirety, which a good number of people were listening to. And I just skipped onto it a few times. I was like, no, it's, get off the Green Channel.
Yeah, but apparently everyone told me at that point that was when the storm hit and the wind kicked up and the rain came. I don't remember that.
No.
Okay. So when I spoke to my wife next day, she's like, oh, was there a bad storm over there? I was like, no, it's fine. We're walking around with our tops off all night. So yeah, new metal disco needs improving for next year. So then we didn't get home till about 2:30, 3 o'clock, I think. And that, it was a munter of the next day.
Yeah, and we were burning the candle at both ends.
We really were, we were. Yeah. So then Saturday, mate,
I went for a little, I had to have some alone time. So
yes, please fire away.
I'll fire through with that if I may. So
please.
Midday-ish, I went down to see yet another fantastic Belgian representative of Psychonaut. And this was just exactly what I needed. It was just absolutely soothing to my soul. It was so good. I really enjoyed it. To describe it, it's very standard Art Tangent fare, but kind of progressive, post-metally. It was great. And I've got nothing else to say than it just really warmed up my soul at a time when I was feeling a bit thin and worn out. So that was great. And then I went to see Gold, Gold, and they, I believe, are from also the Low Countries somewhere. I think they might be from Holland,
Netherlands.
I think they are. And that was something a little bit different, to be honest. So they have, I'm sorry, I don't know the names, but a front woman, they've got someone on drum machine, someone on a bass, and someone on a keyboard. So clearly just a little bit of a different setup to your normal drums, two guitars and a bassist or whatnot. Really kind of crystalline vocals, synthy backing, that drum machine, kind of 80s tinged synthios back again, like to be fair, the latest album, a lot of the songs are written about kind of a very difficult, dark time that she went through personally, some personal things about sexual abuse, and you could tell she was getting really emotional. This was must have been a really huge show for them, main stage crowd, huge crowd for them at the middle of the day. And there were a few times she kind of started a track and kind of choked up a little bit and started again. The crowd were just really positive and supportive and willing her on. She kind of did a bit of a spoken bit of telling everyone about the album and what it meant to her. And then, do you know, it basically, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. It was it was really powerful, and me being completely strung out, I was like, I can't cope with this. Just like, yeah. I mean, it was. It look, the music in itself isn't for everyone, and again, a little bit different. She's got fantastic vocal, and yeah, it was just really powerful stuff, and I just couldn't quite handle it after the weekend or two we'd had.
Run
Yeah.
out. Anyone else you saw before?
I then met you boys kindly join me then to come and see Vola.
Benny, this band have done things to me. I was really struggling at this point on the Sunday. You went off and, as I said, Tim and Hatchie, you went and did some reviews for the show, which we've just heard. We were sitting in the van, and it was pissing down rain at one point. Then it sort of brightened up, started pissing down again, and I was tired, missing the family. We were all sat in the van, like, you know, hardly talking at times, just sort of like, and you were like, "Let's go see some bands," and we all
Begrudging,
reluctantly,
very
begrudgingly
begrudging.
or reluctantly, whichever one, agreed. And you were like, "Come on, I don't want to miss Vola." And I was like, "Benny, can you just calm down a little bit? Just relax." Anyway, we got in there, and I didn't really click with it for a while. I was trying to get into it, and then I don't know what song it was, but they just clicked. And seeing him with his beautiful white guitar and the cleanness of the band itself, the sound was impeccable, like crystal clear again. You know, the production was maybe a bit of a light show, I think, maybe. But let me tell you, I have been playing this band non-stop since I got back from Arctangent, and their latest album, Witness, makes me want to be a better person when I listen to it. It is fucking outstanding. And even I think the other day I was picking my kids up from somewhere, and I had this album on, and my son tells me, he goes, "You've been playing this a lot recently." It's just they're on another level. I'm so grateful you drive me to that show, mate.
I'm delighted. I mean, they kind of completed my recovery on that difficult Saturday because, like you say, they're such a breath of fresh air. They're so. Do you know where they're from? Are they? They
They are
must
from
be.
Denmark.
Yeah, I knew it was Scandinavia. They're just. On the day, we're all feeling a bit under the weather, a bit minging, third day at a festival, second festival in a row. They come on. Looking fantastic,
Yes.
long, beautiful, long blonde hair. The guy looks a bit like Sam Ryder, who you might not know, but is like a pop star who did Britain's Eurovision. A few, he's been on the late
Okay,
night adverts and
don't
stuff,
know.
but he just looks fantastic. And looking at me, hungover, bald head, stubble, disheveled, muddy, and there's this guy on stage with his beautiful flowing locks, tall, handsome, crystal clear voice, hitting those notes. They just, yeah, and they and like you say, they seem a super tight, super professional, much bigger act than necessarily their billing belies. Do you know what I mean? And I think they're very accessible. So I think I would hope that they can really kind of push on and go places.
I mean, if you haven't listened, if you're intrigued, Benny might argue because you sent me on the other album, the previous one, which is called, are you surprised we're doing this show? But anyway,
A pause of a dying crowd or something
that's
like that.
exactly, applause of a dying crowd, isn't it? Something like that. But I mean, Witness is where I went in first, and I have just enjoyed the shit out of that. They just brilliant, really uplifting album as well for me, just when I need a little pick me up. Oh, but anyway, That's enough of Vola, but one of my bands of the weekend, mate, for sure. Thank you for encouraging me to get along.
Delighted. Then, you know, coming off that high, another just one of my all-time favourite bands, of Rollo Tomassi, were on next, basically like playing a home game on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. It's like they kicked off and everyone was behind them. They seem to play the festival almost every year, but I do think they haven't been there for a year or two. So it did feel like a bit of a homecoming for them. And they brought tracks off their new album. They started, as predicted by us on the preview show, with the Terminator 2 intro into Drip. And it just sound like, unlike Sixth and a couple of other bands, they sounded on point straight from the off. Increasingly, they have moved to a more synth-based and going on Eva's more melodic vocal, but I felt that for at least the first half of the set, Eva was just on brutal form with her harsh vocal, ripping up the stage, supported by her brother James. I'm a soft touch when it comes, I'm a mark when it comes to this band, so I'm probably not the most objective person to review it, but I, coming off Vola into this, I was just so happy. It was great.
They certainly had the home crowd on their side, didn't they, Rolo? Everyone was loving it. And I thought the stage show, although there was little production, would really sort of was big, if you know what I mean. I don't know if it was their presence.
Yeah, but I agree. I know what you mean. It wasn't necessarily a huge production, but the lights and everything, just they put some thought into it and worked. Like, Prescient sounded great. They finished on Cloaked, which is off the latest album. I think that's really a great track. I mean, they played one of our collective favourite tracks, A Flood of Light, and just... when you're like feeling it, that's the kind of thing you need just to
tug
on those heartstrings.
A tear in my eye during the floodlight, I won't lie. Whether it was just the fact it was the final day or just the overwhelming emotions, it just such a fucking great song that. Yeah, they were great, really. And yeah, I'd like to, I don't know whether they'd be able to creep up the bill. What do you think?
I mean, it's difficult because I think Art Tangent are also growing, and they are looking to attract bigger bands and whatever else, and Rollo might now be tarred with that brush of just being almost the house band that plays every time in that same slot. So I don't know, mate, but you're asking the wrong man, because I think they should headline every day.
I believe the next one was that the big clash.
This was the big clash of the weekend, the big triple hardcore treat, three-way tables, ladders, chairs. Oh man,
not pleasant, was it? So you went and saw who?
So Johnny and I went to see The World Is a Beautiful Place and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die, and you guys went to
Playgrounded.
Fire away,
mate. Am I right in saying you came and saw the end of Playgrounded?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we pretended we did, just
to
avoid the trap of, oh, that was the best band of the weekend. So we could we could fend it off at the pass, but we won't tell it. We were fobbing you off. We didn't.
Playgrounded. So Greek boys on Pelagic Records. I saw them last year supporting LLN and The Ocean in Dublin. So really happy for them to get this slot on the, is it the Elephant in the Room stage or something?
Yes,
like that?
Correct, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. So the smallest stage, Arctangent, really small, where the Silent Disco is on. And when myself, Johnny, Matt, and Ollie were there, when we arrived, it was empty. And I was really worried. Like, you could swing a tiger in there. It was that empty, to quote Partridge. So We had pretty much spot of where everyone would stand. They came on all in black, very electronic led band. The guitarist was sort of in and out with a few riffs here and there. The bassist was driving the band. It
Yes.
was thunderous, like, and I don't just mean sound, I mean technicality as well, was driving this band on really, really good. The lead singer, it's not a heavily vocal concentrated. There's a lot of room to breathe in between songs with the rest of the band, and a lot of electronics, as I said. But they were really good. And towards the end, the tent was filling up, not full by any means, of course,
I'm
but
glad it wasn't just the four of you there, but
yeah. But no, it was brilliant. And
and sound wise,
to be honest, the bass
because
was
that band kind of lives or dies on the sound quality, I imagine. So
absolutely fine. You would
great.
no qualms at all.
And
So
just remind me, we reviewed the last album, the one with the kind of red cover on it. Have
yeah,
they got much?
Death of a Dead Day, is it? Or
No, that's sick. But it's Death of something.
I think it's Dead. This is a running joke at our tangent. We always come on and
Yeah.
go, what's the name of that? The Death of Death.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Most of the tracks off that album.
Yes, very much so.
Okay,
Yeah.
man.
And rightly
Good,
so.
good, good, good.
Yeah.
And rightly so, yeah.
So what stage did you see your
So
band at?
we were on the yokai for The World's a Beautiful Place, and
I mean that the, where's which was the yokai? Where Death
second
Goes?
stage. No, that's
Oh, the
second stage. Yeah,
so
it's the big
basically
one.
going from like Jesus, from like a Premier Inn in Hull all the way up to like a five-star hotel in London. Sorry,
Yeah, just
switching.
like that.
Yeah.
Just like that. And yeah, they were. I mean, I think they were also somewhat the victim of that big three-way in the Calloused Owl Boys. I think just it is their kind of time, and they probably had. I mean, neither of us were there, so we don't really know, but I imagine they had the biggest crowd of all three bands.
Oh,
But
yeah.
there was plenty of folk there for the A World's a Beautiful Place. It's a bit more of a kind of slacker indie vibe to it, and you could smell the odd doobie going around, I'm not gonna
Oh.
lie. And they again have got a really interesting aesthetic. There's about a million of them on stage. They've got a male vocalist with a really quite distinctive vocal. They've got female vocalists. They do these kind of duets together. They played plenty from the new album, which is fantastic. They threw in a few classics from Harmlessness. In particular, one of the tracks is basically a date. It's like the 7th of January, so and so. They played that. That's my favorite of their tracks. They played it midway through, and that is where my day peaked. And after that, my day went downhill. But yeah, at times they were just glorious, and it wasn't busy in there. There's plenty of space to stand around and have your drink and whatever else you were having. And yeah, it was lovely. And I was very much made the decision in the three-way clash of like who probably won't I get to see again, or who might not be over to these shores again, and that was the main reason for it. And yeah, look, it was a good time, man.
You have to send me on the that album again. Send me on an album to listen to because
Yeah.
sounds like it was a nice time. And then we
Yeah.
went back to the van, I think, and had a sit down, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, I think we just needed to sit down at that stage,
I think we went back to the
basically.
van and had a bit of decompress
We
together,
did,
and
we did, we
I
did, we
think
did.
it was safe to say at that stage, certainly you and I, Venny, we were pretty much beaten at that point. We were
Yeah.
running on fumes, and it was a real struggle. The next band we went to see was Igor, but even at that point, it was a real struggle to stand up and get motivated to get going. But of all the bands to get you pumped up was Igor. Like, this band are indecipherable, indescribable in this. They're just chaos in a bottle, with the lead singer who sings in black metal style, and then the operatic singer comes in. It sounds like a drum machine, but it is live drums. The guitars
The
are.
drums, I mean, just to stop you there, like the
Yeah, go on.
drums were just incredible. Like the
Yeah.
technicality on that drummer was unreal, I thought, and just a sight to behold in it of itself when there's so much else going on that was wackier and more extreme. I just thought the drumming was just incredible, technically. Some of the best drumming all weekend.
Yes, agreed. I think they're a very Marmite sort of band. Like, people will either love them or hate them. And I think for me personally, at that time, they were
You
the perfect
hated
band to give me a
them.
pick. They were the perfect band to give me a pick me up at that point. And I actually remember during Camel Dance, us all having in a little huddle together dancing around, which
We needed that,
we
didn't we?
needed that to pick us up. What were you in the same zone?
I was in the zone that you described before of
Yeah.
just having zero left in me and not feeling bad in any bodily way, but just mentally, just
Yeah.
n having no emotions, good or bad, left in me. And yeah, I found the last two bands just really difficult because I was just apathetic. I just couldn't. Anyway, yeah. The main guy, Gautier Serre, he's kind of on, what would you say, like on programming decks,
Yeah.
keyboard, synths or what have you. He
Guitars a
kind of
lot.
bookended the set with like a electronic kind of
Yeah.
EDM kind of thing, and then the band came out, and yeah, the operatic vocals and the drums sounded fantastic, and I thought the last album was really good and really was a step up it from Savage Sinusoid in terms of having more songs on it. And it was great to hear those songs live because that album came out ages ago. I remember walking around a supermarket during coronavirus when that was all you could do, listening to that album on my headphones. And so it's great to finally hear those songs. And I'm going to put this to you as well. It also struck me a little bit, and it might be my frame of mind, but it struck me a little bit of what I said earlier about LLNN. If the first time you see something like that is your overwhelming memory of it. And when we saw them at Download that time, and it was just like, what on earth is this? This is something quite magical. That will always stick with me. And that's not to say, I mean, they probably were technically better during this art tangent, but that first time I saw Igor will always stick with me as that the most mind-blowing time.
Yeah, I think it was a lot less. We sort of knew what to expect this time around. There was
Yeah,
no
and
surprises.
correct me if I'm wrong, but the first time we saw them, they were a lot more kind of avant-garde-y, almost like
Yeah.
an art
Yes, I.
theatrical production.
Yeah, like Hylum style.
Yeah, whereas this time they seemed just more of a band and a unit
Yeah.
who were on stage and just jamming out these monster grooves and
Yeah,
beats and
correct.
whatever have. Yeah, so yeah, but this has to have a massive asterisk that I was essentially
Written
just
off.
written off. Yeah,
Yeah.
completely. You could probably tell I checked out at that stage.
Yeah. I think there was another clash, and I don't know who you went to see, but I went to see Haken.
You did.
I don't know where you were. Did you see someone?
So this was a bit of a funny one in that Talkie Horror were meant to be on in Silent Disco and
Oh,
Elephant
that's
Bone,
right.
and then we heard a little rumor that actually wasn't necessarily that much of a rumor that Ocean were going to play. So I went to go and see that, but it very was quite quickly apparent that due to technical issues, whatever else, the Ocean weren't going to be playing in that slot. So I then went to go and check out Loathe again, much in need of some alone time.
So,
Why don't you talk to me about Happen then?
yeah, just on the Ocean point, and they didn't play then, but they played a later set after, I think, when after Devon
After
Townsend.
Devon.
Hacking,
And just on
yeah,
that, neither we weren't there, but it sounded bizarre in that they played to a silent set to people wearing the silent disco headphones, which sounded, I would have quite liked to have been there just for that kind of to see how that played out. It must have been quite odd, but anyway.
Very, yeah, anyway.
I'd like to hear from anyone who was actually there to see what kind of
Yes.
experience that was like. But
Same.
yeah, anyway, tell me about Hacken, mate.
Hacking, so I was very much looking forward to Hacking because I got into them a lot recently and they were great. They all came out
Oh,
in
great.
Hawaiian shirts. It was very, very sparse to start with, though. I was seriously worried. I thought, sort of there was.
Because they were essentially headlining the
So,
second stage.
yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was very quiet at first, but then it started filling up and they came out of Hawaiian shirts. They started with the new track from the new album. Then they played Cockroach King, which is just phenomenal. But, for a band, technically just unbelievable because their songs are very proggy, very long, but so tight as a band. And the lead singer was getting the crowd up and enjoying themselves. Delighted I got to see it. I actually left a bit early because I went to try and get some merch, but it was shut. But I'd love to see Hacken on their own show.
Nice, nice. And you say it filled up towards the end.
It did fill up, as because you sort of, when you're in the tents, because it sort of comes from behind, doesn't it? You don't really notice. And
Yeah.
before I
Sneaks up
turn
on you.
around, it sneaks up on you exactly,
I went to Loathe, and I kind of thought, I don't know what you think, it was just a slightly odd booking.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And they were kind of, they're in a prominent slot. They were in the Brixton tent. But what surprised me is it was rammed. And I'm talking about like
Spilling.
five, six deep outside of the tent,
Right, okay.
which really surprised me. And I'm still not sure I can necessarily explain it, but clearly Loathe, British band from Liverpool area, they've got that kind of post-Deftones thing going on. That album, I let in, and it took everything, was just fantastic. They've got a really energetic frontman, Kadeem, who was like hyping up the crowd, and that was great. But also, I'd say the guitarist Eric is now doing a lot more. He's kind of carrying the vocals a lot more, so it's not just necessarily Kadeem who's frontman, but Eric's doing like the guitars and the more melodic, clean vocals, which presents a little bit of a slightly different dynamic. And it's slightly weird the way they had the stage. Like they had Kadeem and the drummer on one side and Eric on the other, and they're almost facing off against each other. And yeah, some of the tracks of the new album sounded fantastic. And yeah, they were surprisingly, but to my ears, justifiably really popular that night.
Great, great, good stuff. I actually sort of don't mind that last album Loathe did, which is
Yeah,
weird
I
because I
think it's
probably
great. I think
shouldn't.
it's great. Yeah, you probably shouldn't. But we said it at the time when we were reviewing both of them, so they came out quite close together. But I preferred that Loathe album to the last Deftones album.
Oh, controversial.
Controversial, but.
And then we saw off the weekend with none other than Devon Townsend. Now, we speculated a lot about the main thing, the set list, and what it would be like. Before that, he came up with very minimal production. It was literally stripped to the bones with nothing. Unless I'm mistaken, mate, he had maybe a backdrop was his only
Yeah,
thing.
if
Even if
that.
that,
I mean, he did make reference to it, kind of touring post-pandemic. I mean, I don't know about you. I love the man, but that did strike me a bit hollow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it did a little bit. I mean, he's headlining a festival, and he's kind of a one-man band and puts together an ensemble of musicians. So, yeah, look, maybe I was in a bit of a negative type, but that struck me as a little bit hollow. But anyway.
So yeah, very nothing really production wise, and for drummer James Leach and someone's dad on guitar, I think his only work, multi musician, was
He
he
was a fucking
explained.
legend, is what I
He
would say.
was
Was he
multi
was an ab I
musician.
don't know where he's been dug
He
up from, but he was some boy. I
was
mean,
on the keyboards, he was on the guitars, he was everywhere, backing
he was having a
vocals.
whale of a time as well, is
He
also
was,
what I'd say.
yeah. It was like he was at a wedding or something on the dance floor. But anyway. So he came on and straight away was, jolly as always, wasn't he? And interaction with the crowd. He said his vocals were knackered for some reason or another. So set list, mate. Go on. It was sort of a three-parter, wasn't it? He sort of said the
It was a
first.
three-parter by his own kind of.
So he said like the first is going to be sort of a mixture of stuff. This middle part's gonna be very a lull, non-festival part, and then the third will be really heavy. So go on, mate, fire away.
I was flat at this point, and but actually when Devin came out and played Lightwork, I got momentarily really excited again, and as he does. I mean, I love the man. He lifted my spirits no end. The start of the set was really good, and he played Kingdom second, and it was like, right, here we fucking go. Let's do this. And he then played Deadhead third, which, albeit is a little bit of a downer of a track, is one of my absolute favorite
Oh,
tracks. I
definitely, yeah.
absolutely love it. And I always remember, this is quite a ridiculous thing to say, but I remember when he was coming to play Download, second stage, quite a big slot, and he must have been in Canada, and he was like sending out a tweet like, oh, what songs do you want to hear at my Download set? And I remember tweeting him saying, Deadhead, please, question mark. And like, you saw a range of other things being requested, and then he played it live that day, and I was like, I've
That's
done
you.
this. That must have
Yeah.
been
Well done, mate.
solely 100% me. So
Yeah.
I've got quite a special relationship with that song. So yeah, and then he played By Your Command, which is a bit of a, like, it's off a Ziltoid album, but it's an absolute beast of a track. So by
Is.
this point, I was like, oh, Devin, you've only gone and just
Bloody
played an
done it.
absolute beauty and just carry on doing this for another hour, please. But then, by his own admission, he just slowed it right down, took the brakes off, and it wasn't necessarily even his slower songs that are crowd favorites, like an ER or something like that. I mean, I'm pretty au fait with a lot of his back catalogue, but he's released so much material that even the most keen student of Devin might have been scratching their heads a little bit at some of those tracks. And then by the time he brought it back up again, and to be fair, there were some bangers towards the tail end, like he did play Aftermath. Bad Devil is one of those that for me strays a bit towards the kooky side. They all were wearing silly cowboy hats, and
I love
yeah.
that.
Oh, fine. But by the time he tried to bring it back up again, I was already on a terminal death spiral to the bottom of the ocean. So I wasn't for saving at that point.
Again, I'm going to talk about you're playing a festival. Why do that in the middle of a set? Bring out those slow songs, like which by your own admission, like I would know Devin Townsend's songs, but nowhere near as much as you. Why bring out songs like that, which are so like C cuts off an album, or do you know what I mean? It really
Yeah.
just
I mean,
brought
he
it
is
down.
like that. He is quite contrary and he's an artist and
Agrees, but
he has got his right to play new tracks or tracks that he wants to. And I do always respect musicians for doing that, but it's treading that fine balance to know that you are headlining a festival. And maybe I don't know, mate, whether you think it's because his voice was on the ropes a little bit, that he didn't want to
potentially,
be
it's
shouting for an hour and a half or an hour, whatever it was.
yeah, not a bad show.
But I also think there are better quiet tracks that would have been crowd favorites that he could, I mean, he's got a
Yeah.
million of those that he could have played. And you know, I would just file that under one of those classic Devins that he just brings slightly the rough with the smooth, and as I say, right at the start, it's just bulletproof. There's no question he's a massive headliner for that festival and was a perfect fit at that time. But yeah, it's partly me. It's not just him. It was very much me at that stage that I was beyond saving. But yeah.
Yeah, I was really done at that point. 2 weekends in a row, and the thoughts of having to get up early, go back to the airport was really playing on my mind. But look, I mean, let's not forget, Devin does bring so much joy to people's lives. Like he brings so much joy, doesn't he? He comes on
Yeah.
stage and starts talking to the crowd before he even plays a note. So
He's such a funny guy. He is so funny.
it was, but anyway, all in all, ArcTangent Festival was another great weekend away. I had a fantastic time.
It
It
doesn't
is,
sound like it, mate.
I
You
know.
sound.
I'm No, I really did though. It was brilliant. I've loved almost every minute of it. The variety of bands you get to see, the how small it is. You're not wandering around for ages. You can nip back to the van. They let you bring cans in as well, which is another nice touch. We didn't abuse it, to be fair. We
Yeah,
definitely put
we
enough money
paid our
behind
share.
the bar. But another brilliant festival, which is. You know, I've been 2 years in a row now. That's my second time, and I just love it.
Yeah,
So
me too. Me too.
that.
It's very much set in the calendar. I've gone out and bought a ticket for next year
Oh, he's
already.
already done it. He's already
Yeah, I
done it.
just I love it. It's one of the ones that do you know, it, just for the reasons we said at the start, the lineup is
Yeah.
unshakable. The people are good. Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I'll be back.
Oh, are we going to have to do another back to back next year, Nick?
Oh, I hope not.
Oh, all right. Anyway, and after all that, thank you so much for listening. We had a great time. If we met you there the weekend, thank you so much for hanging out. Shout out as well to Lisa and Pete, the lovely Lisa and
Oh,
Pete.
yeah, I do. What a couple of times I saw them and I got a hug from both of them, and
Yeah,
it was
just what you
such like
needed.
just what I needed. They're
Yeah.
like my festival mum and dad, just there to
Yeah,
when I'm
just
scuffed my knee at school to give me a little hug just to make me feel better. So thank you to them for that. Lots of love.
lovely folk. And so we're gonna leave you now with the track Generation by Liturgy off the album Aesthetica, and we hope you enjoy it as jarring as much as we did. Till next time, peace out.